Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. We've been doing this for a while now, right, Scott?
57 episodes at least.
At least. And we've thrown in a few here and there extras, so we're well over 57.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm having a blast. I hope you listeners are having a blast. And the best way that we know if you're having a blast and if you like us is that you get on and you rate us officially on whatever you are listening on.
And you know, we have the podcast hosted on Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. So there's three different places that you can go to give us a thumbs up.
And you could go to all three places and thumbs up us.
Yeah.
You really wanted to.
And here's my challenge to you, dear listener, is to share the podcast with at least two other people this week.
Challenge accepted.
Okay.
All right.
That includes you, Mom.
Okay. I asked my mom, just so you know. I was like, so, you know, we've referred to this a few times. It's like, hey, Mom, do you listen to the podcast? And she says, what podcast?
Yes, I think my mom would say the same thing.
Take one of our listeners away, okay?
Shoot a monkey.
Mom, I share it on Facebook. anyway, so this week we're talking about school climate. And mm-hmm. April Gustafson shared with us this chat, and you can listen to her interview. It's out on the any of those devices or apps that we just mentioned.
On the interview side.
Yeah. And so she is at April2383 on the Twitters.
Now, I could be wrong here, but I think her title is a school climate title.
Yes.
Like, that's what she does.
She's a school climatologist.
Ooh. I don't know. I heard that climatologist stuff isn't real. That's where the scientists got all that climatologist stuff wrong. There's no global warming. Sorry, I just ran off all our Oklahoma listeners.
Anyway, she is in that. That's an official role at OKCPS, and I love that. You know, there are a few things going on in OKCPS with turnover, and I think somebody, a team dedicated specifically to the climate of the district, is a fabulous way to get that stuff turned around. So.
I think especially when you get in bigger urban districts, you know, like Oklahoma City, Edmond, Mustang, Yukon, or all the Tulsa areas. I think once you get into those multiple buildings, multiple sites, it's difficult to maintain sort of some of that climate across spaces. I think a team that can help do that is great. I think it's a little easier maybe to school climate things if you're in a smaller school where kind of everything is in one space. But I love that Oklahoma City Schools has a person and a team dedicated to that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So, I mean, it's just, and listening to her speak, I mean, she was probably one of my longer interviews because she just has so much passion for the topic. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun to listen.
I think, I could be wrong, but I think she started as an art teacher. I think she was an art teacher before she got into ed tech and then now does the school climate.
All right.
So there you go.
So that was last Sunday, and mm-hmm. it is now almost a week later because we just, you know what? I'm wondering if we should change to Mondays.
I guess we could do that.
I don't know. Anyway.
We'll talk later. This doesn't need to be a conversation for our listeners.
Well, when should we record? Just kidding.
You
sorry.
Know, we should ask Todd Gregg.
He's good for giving us information. All right. Question one. What is school climate?
What is school climate
in your opinion?
Man, if you can't answer that question, then you don't know how to fix it, right?
Right.
So right. That's important. I think school climate is generally how people feel in your building. How do your students feel? How do your faculty feel? How do your administrators feel? Like, Like, if I walk into your building, am I greeted with a smile and hello? Is everybody pleasant? Or am I greeted with, like, just the facts, ma'am?
Right.
Does that make sense? That's what school climate is.
A feeling for the school.
Yeah. That would be my definition. I'm sure some human resources person could more eloquently state.
Maybe so. with Chong Seelor on this one, and he is at Chong 2087 on the Twitters. He said, school climate is the energy that flows within the school. This energy can be positive or negative. A school's climate can make or break a school. Guys, this is a pre-service teacher.
Hire him. If you're an administrator, direct message this kid and get him into your school as soon as he graduates.
Maybe don't wait. I mean, get him emergency if he's doing a full internship, he can't. But this guy is... he's already one of us.
He is thinking in the right places.
Yes. He's one of us.
So he'll need some polish because he's inexperienced. But where he wants to be is who I want to have working in my school.
Well, and you can just already see his passion, mm-hmm. you know, bleeding in these text messages. Yeah. So.
And so Laura Searcy, who is almost Mrs. Dr. Laura Searcy, who happens to be, I believe, Chong's advisory sort of person.
Okay.
She said, agreed. And I can't remember who she was talking this to, but she said, I do a lot of observations at schools, and it always is so telling how a school can make you feel, and then parentheses, welcomed, when you walk in. Climate is in the details. School pride, decorations, cleanliness, student reactions to visitors, check-in procedures, admin available.
Yeah.
And she's right.
And so I remember April saying that, like, a good football team helps tremendously, mm-hmm. or a really bad football team. Sometimes people rally around the bad news Bears. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you don't have something like that, you can't just lean on the football team, the basketball team, the wrestling team, whatever it might be. So
it's got to be school-wide.
It's got to be bigger than a team.
Right. A team can help.
It can totally help. All right.
So why is school climate important?
And we already kind of said, but to reiterate, climate is an important element for schools to keep track of how the teachers, principals, and students interact with each other and how those interactions affect teaching and learning. And I took that from Mr. Shane A. Sanders.
Yeah, you did. It says right there, Shane A. Sanders.
Right here on the tape.
Right there. I went with Daniel Sale. I'm hoping I said Sale correctly. It's what it looks like.
Sam.
Okay, there's a hilarious YouTube video of a cat set to that song.
Okay.
It's really funny. If you just Google...
It doesn't sound cool if you just try to blur... It doesn't sound
if you just Google AWOL Nation Sale Cat.
Cat.
It should be the top one.
All right. Well...
Back to Danielle. Yes. She said school climate is important because you want students to walk in and have them feel like they're accepted and that they belong there.
Yes.
I mean... That's anything, right? Like, if I walk into some place and people are friendly, I will want to walk into that place more frequently.
Indeed.
And so we can do that with our schools. And once the students take ownership of that, look the heck out.
Amen.
Yeah. Question three.
That's me. I get to read that one.
Aaron, question three.
Okay. In our district... We utilize PBIS, which is Positive Behavior Intervention and Supports, to support and improve the school climate. Does your school or district use PBIS? And I think she lost a few people here during the chat. We had talked about that just simply because some people had never heard of this before.
Right. I didn't know. I had to scroll through the chat to see what it meant.
Okay. I had heard of it in one of my classes a few years ago. The gal that sat next to me, I made friends with her. She was a marine biologist before she became a teacher, and she was like training sea lions with PBIS.
Shut the front door.
No. I mean, is that fun? So she told me what it was, and, you know, we kind of became friends, and she's in Chicago now, sadly.
So are our students sea lions?
No, but if you think about... A child, a sea lion, a dog, an adult. I mean, if you want positive vibes, right? And I say that semi-hilariously. But you are going to throw out positive things also. I mean, if you beat the dog when it pees, sometimes it's going to continue peeing because it's scared to death, right?
Like, Dang it. So I'm raising my dog wrong?
Well, it may quit eventually, but it's probably not going to quit that quickly.
What about if I rub his face in it?
Gross.
I did that with the kids, and they quit peeing on the floor.
I tell you.
I'm just kidding. I didn't do that.
Whenever I beat the crap out of my bird, it totally quit. I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
That was the worst. Anyway.
We shouldn't joke about that kind of stuff. Okay. Sorry that we did.
Edit all of this out. Anyway, Amanda James says, we do not use PBIS as in the program, but Oklawee does our best to focus on positive reinforcement and behaviors with using the RCA 55 essential elements. We celebrate the amazing work students and teachers do, and we also try to implement love and logic when discipline must occur. I love that. I had actually never heard of Oklawee, and that was part of the reason I chose this. Have you heard of this hashtag?
I believe that's her school, Western Elementary.
Oh, okay. I was like, there's tons of stuff in there.
Yeah, but I can't. It's Western Elementary, but I can't remember what town they're in.
Okay. Well, and that makes a little more sense.
So, yeah. So that's what the Oklawee is.
Well, they hashtag the mess out of their stuff. Pretty awesome.
Yeah. I love when schools do that. So Aaron Baker, who is at Baker Left, he provided, now this is answer 3B, so there's a previous answer to this, but I liked what he said here. He said, I think the big divide over school climate right now is between restorative discipline practices and zero tolerance policies. And we see some evidence of that in society in general, right?
Yes.
Where, I'm sorry, Aaron, you were speeding. I am taking your driver's license away forever.
Oh my goodness.
That's a zero tolerance policy. Or another one would be, you know, there's this huge discussion right now about whether guns should be allowed on school campuses or not. And I don't want to step into that discussion, but if you're in a rural community, like I grew up in a sort of rural community, and it wasn't uncommon for somebody to have their shotgun in a gun rack in the parking lot at school. Like
in the window.
Yeah, scene, like and visible to everybody. I mean, so it's safely there. Now, in this day and age, if I have been gone hunting, I got home late or whatever, forgot to check my gear and drove to school.
Yeah.
You know, right now that student's facing expulsion.
Right.
They didn't mean anything nefarious, most likely. You know, so that's the zero tolerance part. I just wonder in general if we don't have discipline wrong in a lot of ways.
I totally think we do. a lot of time. And it is very infuriating to me whenever a kid that requires a little more grace than mm-hmm. another is he gets a bigger punishment than cute little Susie who hasn't said much, but they both did the same thing.
Right.
You know, I just,
I can get that fair and equal can be different.
Totally.
You know, where cute Susie messes up one time, all you may have to do with her is look at her and give her the mom finger and she, you know, but somebody else may need some other encouragement, you know.
But it's the same first infraction for both. I don't know. I don't know. That's probably a slippery slope right there.
It is, but I think the restorative discipline stuff. And Josh Flores had a podcast when he was doing his podcast on your plan that talked about restorative discipline, and it was very fascinating because I was unfamiliar with it until I heard him talk about it in his podcast. And if you work the restorative discipline correctly, and it may be like restorative justice or something, I can't remember exactly, it really can be beneficial for a lot of kids. Now, will all of these work with every kid every day in every situation? I don't know.
But. Right. Well, I went with, oh wait, no. I already said what I went with.
No, you said it. It's my turn. Question 4.
Yeah.
What successes do you see happening with PBIS implementation or the tools and methods your school is using?
So I went with Rick Cobb on this one, and he is at Grindle Rick. He said the key to climate, whether you have a packaged program or not, is the mindset. Ask, do you go out of your way to make people feel like you want them around and that you value them? Either you do or you don't. It starts in the front office and flows outward from there.
Yeah. I mean, if you go into the front office and have a bad experience, that follows you to your next destination inside the building.
Yeah.
So that's key. I went with Stephanie Hinton here, and she said, when I see relationship building in a classroom, no matter the program, I see students engaged in an environment they feel safe and loved in.
I love her.
Yeah, she's really good.
Like, it's always just thoughtful about love and showing happiness. And
she could be like Kimberly Blodgett's sister.
I know. I kind of want to just like give her a noogie a little bit just to rough her up. But but then she's going to come back and hug me and be like, goodness, you are so fun, Aaron. Anyway, I just love Stephanie Hinton.
She's fun. She is fun. But we didn't, I haven't been involved that I was aware of in a program like that, either one of these. So I really don't have any experience. I mean, we could have been doing something, we just didn't identify it. I mean, I don't know.
There are like Great Expectations schools. Mm-hmm. There are package programs. I get what Rick is talking about. And I think Aaron's A1 may have talked about a package program. You know, if you don't know what you're doing and you need a change, a package program will help. So
some of them can. Yeah. Well, you know, another one that's good that I didn't see come up at all is Rachel's Challenge.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Now, that comes out of the Columbine situation. And it was it's kind of sort of based on a girl of, you know, one of the girls that was, her name was Rachel, and she was killed, you know, in that mess. But basically what you do is you build a chain of kindness. And so... in the middle schools, especially when a teacher sees that you've done something good for the community or gone out of your way to show kindness to another student or something like that, they write what it was on this chain and they staple it together, and you watch you put the chain in like the media center or someplace where the students can see it all the time, and you just watch the chain grow all year long.
Okay.
Like that's just one aspect of it. And we did it at Edmund Memorial several years ago, so I don't remember all the details, but Rachel's Challenge is a really interesting program as well. And I don't know that it's necessarily a discipline program specifically, but there are elements of that that can be utilized in schools. And so you can just Google that and it'll take you to a website that tells you more.
My first year of, like, I'm on my own classroom type thing.
Like Big Girl Aaron.
Yeah, I don't remember where I saw it, and maybe it was a part of that without me knowing that, but I built a tree out of brown paper bags, just the trunk, and every time a kiddo did something amazing, I would write his name on a green leaf that I cut out, and I would take it to the tree, and cool. So at the end of the year, we had like this, I mean, at the beginning of the year, it was just this ugly brown mess thing in the room. But by the end of the year, it was like this like multi-dimensional tree that like fluttered when the air conditioning hit it. And it was,
cool.
It was fun. So
that's awesome.
Anyway. Well, question five. Uh-huh. What challenges are you facing with PBIS in implementation in your school or chosen tool process? Jun Kim, love him. He is at MPS Technology. He says, any process that impacts school climate has to fight the 999 changes that occur. To one, stay consistent. Two, realize fair is not equal and equal is not fair. And three, internal and external pressures you can't account for. I thought, oh, wow, that he's really thought through that one.
no kidding.
Like a principal, you right. know? I mean, he is a guy that is, I don't know how he's utilized in his school, but he is underutilized no matter what he's doing, because the guy is a fountain of information.
Yeah, he's really good. I went with William Stubbs here, and he is at WM Stubbs. He said, most new school-wide practices are confronted with great hesitancy simply because of their novelty. Collective buy-in school-wide is needed in that case. Challenge is the buy-in.
Yeah.
Because I know, and you've probably taught long enough too, you see something coming, you're like, oh, here we go. This is the newest, latest, greatest thing, and we're going to have to do it because the school district bought it. What committee decided for the whole school district, you know?
Yeah.
And so I can understand some of that hesitancy. And there's things out there that, like, don't work their way through education that schools are buying.
Right.
And so how is, I mean, it may be great. Like, for example, Great Expectations. That doesn't come from an educator. That comes from an insurance person.
Serious?
I believe. Yeah, I think so.
Wow. I did not know that.
But it works. So I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, so, I do.
The novelty, the buy-in, that's critical. So I need to understand why we're doing this, and I'll back you if you can tell me that there's a need and a reason and get me to buy into it. Question 6, what are the differences in behavioral techniques between elementary and secondary, if any?
What are they?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I'll tell you this. You can probably be a little firmer in tone with a high school kid than you can with an elementary kid. But having not taught elementary, I am not qualified to answer that side of the equation. Like, I'm not qualified.
Tell us. Four-year-old.
Yeah. Here's what I would do with a four-year-old.
Send him back to a different teacher.
Yes.
No. So I went with Jack Reed on this one, and he is JL Reed 2011 on the Twitters. He said the major difference is brain development. Younger students may not have the cognitive ability to appreciate the effects of their actions. We also have to remember that the secondary student is still developing behavior and not thinking equally as us adults, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. I mean, again, my husband and I think I tweeted him on this one. Thank you, you know, at tbarnes211, because he keeps me in check on that always. Mm-hmm. I am kind of like, I don't know. I just am a very straightforward person. There's no time for sugarcoating when you're trying to change the world, Scott.
You are just, I am telling you, you're messing it up right now. But the other thing too, and I struggle with this, and I know that this is true. You know, teenagers, that's where I spent a lot of time. They engage in risky behavior because their brains are not ready yet. Like, they want to be treated as adults. They don't want to be treated as kids. But their brain is in between kid and adult. And those hormones in there are just dumping in saying, take the risk, take the risk, take the risk. You know, don't worry about consequences. So, it's hard sometimes.
It really is.
I went with Michelle Waters. She is an INFP. I thought we were past that 3 weeks ago. So she's at Waters English. She has a great podcast out. By the way, so does Stephanie Hinton. Both of those ladies have wonderful podcasts. And Michelle's is Rethink ELA. And Stephanie Hinton's is Passing Notes. Passing
listen
Notes?
To them.
Yes. Yes. Go listen. Michelle said, I know that in secondary, you have to partner with students. You have to let them know you want them to succeed. And that's why you're asking for behavior change. They have to know you care, not that you're just trying to get them in trouble.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Question 7. Does your school have a school climate positive behavior team or PLC? How does it operate? And I think she was looking for actual help on this one because it's relatively new, you know, to her. Mm-hmm. And so she was like, hey, is anybody out there doing this? How are you doing it?
Right.
I went with Kristen Ashley here. She does not pop in all the time. She's got a new job. Did you know that?
What's her new job? She was a counselor.
Yeah. No, she's with the SDE now, like over counseling. I know. It's like, whoa, hey.
Oh, she'll be amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, she says, if yours does, include your counselor. Yeah.
With a heart.
Right. Like how many times is the counselor underutilized or utilized in a, like, I remember at my first school, our counselor was kind of like the assistant principal a lot of times because, I mean, they just used her in that capacity a lot of times and not very counselor-y, you know?
Or like last resort.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of along for the whole process.
Bring your counselor with you for all of it.
That's a good one. I went with Jack Reed. He is at JL Reed 2011. He said, my school has a PBIS team that includes teachers and admin and a school climate team that includes students and admin. Both teams work together to affect the behaviors in the building. And I don't know that I've been aware of a school climate or positive behavior team or committee in any of the schools that I've taught in. So, last question. Question 8. What are some examples of support from district administration in regards to hashtag school climate? What additional supports would you like to see?
That's a good question. Like, and so just thinking, because I mean, what is there? You know, it's hard to know what you need unless you know what's out there, in my opinion. But I went with Renee Bell here, and she is Bio Bell Rocks. She said, I'm so fortunate to work in a district where admin is proactive, visible, and invested in all of our successes. I wouldn't trade that relationship for anything. And so it doesn't talk about the supports, but that being, I mean, just having the full backing by your admin. Like, I've been in schools where, via student internship and in, you know, the full on I'm alone version here. It just, if you don't have that or you don't feel supported by, there's nothing in the world that's going to help your climate.
Makes it hard to thrive if you don't feel it.
Yeah. I mean, because the climate may be great for the kids, but what's it like for the teachers? If the kids can go down and grab a candy bar, you know, when they're getting their tongue lashing, and then come back to class 15 minutes later, like, who is feeling supported here?
Right. So,
I think there's a way to do it where everybody can.
Right. And you know what? I know there's going to be instances where I want the kid to go to said administration for that administrator to smite them from the face of the earth because of the transgression. But I have to keep in mind the greater good, which is which is not the smoting of said ding-dong student. So I went with Alan Lehman. And he said, I think that the authenticity and strength of relationships between administrators and teachers and students, so those are two separate groups, administrators, teachers, and the second group, teacher, student, are the most significant drivers of school climate. If you trust each other, for the most part, things will work out a lot better than if you don't.
I like that.
That's a good one.
I like it. Pick a boom sauce, but you've got one, so give
I got
it to
one.
Us.
I've got a boom sauce, and so this is June Kim. He's replying to a conversation here. So if you want to read the whole thread, you can click in. But he says there is a big difference between punishment and discipline.
Oh,
and I think that's something that we forget because, you know, when I want the child smoted for his transgression, that's a punishment. And the discipline comes in trying to correct a behavior towards something that I need. So a smoting doesn't discipline anybody, right? Like if I'm disciplined, I do things in a manner, in a certain manner, right? So if my discipline in the morning is to get up and brush my teeth and floss, then I'm disciplined in those habits. Those are habits that I repeat.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
And so I view a discipline in that way. Like if there's discipline here, it's to help correct an ineffective behavior and nudge it back towards the behavior, the intended behavior, so that becomes the habit of the child. Or me. I mean, it could be me that needs that.
Wow. Yeah.
What do you think?
Brow. I at first I was like not following, but I think I'm on board with what you're saying there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there is a difference.
There is a difference. You know, I can see it.
And one is measured and thought out, and one isn't. One is in the heat of the moment.
Punishment.
Yeah. That's how I would view it.
Okay. I like that.
So there you go.
I'm with
you. Okay.
So this coming week, you've heard what we've had to say. I don't know if we're going to say more. I don't know what's going to happen. There is obviously an April 2nd walk out to the Capitol Advocacy Day, right?
And I believe some districts are planning longer.
Some are. But I've seen it. So, and this is a crazy thing, and we'll get into it whenever it comes. But I've seen some districts say, all right, we're doing the second, but we're going to come back. Like what the legislature passed was enough. We're going to come back on the third. But the teachers on the walkout page are saying, friends, I'm still not on board. And right. So I'm seeing some splits here between districts and teachers, and I'm interested to see how all of this is going to pan out. I'm worried and excited at the same time.
I am too, because I truly believe no teacher wants to not be with their students.
Right.
I believe that to the bottom of my heart. But at some point, I've seen something making the rounds today that I think is spot on, and that is the teacher's working conditions are the student's learning conditions.
Oh, amen. That's so good.
Yeah. Like
that's really good.
Bang on. And so that is a big deal.
Right. So that will be Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you want to follow along with what's going on in the walkout, be there or be square.
That's right. So I'm think that at least for the next chat, the one occurring on April 1st, will be a fairly political based chat. And depending on the week, the next chat could also be very politically based.
Yeah.
So the next two chats could... The next one for sure could be focused on walkout, but the next two could potentially be.
Scotty, I'm a fence rider. I just don't know if I can do this.
I know. It's tough, Aaron. It's tough, but necessary.
Yes. All right.
All right.
All right, educators. You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
They're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.